Arlen crossed his arms the same as Renna, standing his ground. But the field demon passed through Arlen as if he had been made of smoke. His body swirled where the creature passed through it, returning after a moment to sharp clarity.
Nothing can touch me in the night now, Ren. Not if I see it coming.
The field demon was leaping back at him. He quick-stepped around the demon's back to avoid the flailing claws and put the demon in a headlock. He reached his free hand around to draw a heat ward on the demon's chest with his bare finger. Renna gaped, but Arlen wasn't finished with the lesson. He strode towards another field demon, provoking an attack.
Of course, if I don't see it coming in time to stop it...
Arlen was knocked back several steps as the demon's claws struck home, tearing into his abdomen. Renna pulled her knife and darted forward to interpose herself between Arlen and the demon, but Arlen straightened and stopped her up short with a raised hand. The demon pounced again, but once more Arlen blew apart like smoke. When he reformed, there was no sign of his injury. Even his robe was mended.
Given a moment to catch my wits, I can heal just about anything that doesn't kill me.
The demon came at him a third time, but this time Arlen drew a quick warding in the air. But as the demon struck the ground several yards away, Arlen staggered. To Renna's warded eyes, he had been bright with magic a moment before. Now the glow of his wards was noticeably dimmer.
I draw wards on a demon. The coiling powers them itself. I draw them in the air. They draw magic from me instead.
The demon came back at him a fourth time, but this time Arlen seized it by the throat and pinned it to the ground in a Sharusak hold. As he held it down, Renna could see the wards on his hands throbbing with power. The power in his hands built in intensity until the demon's throat collapsed. With a flex of his muscles, Arlen tore its head clean off.
How come you can draw wards in the air and I can't?
Renna scanned the field for more demons. There were some still circling, but they were wary of the two humans now and kept their distance.
I didn't know myself for a long time. Didn't understand any of my powers. But when I fought that demon along the path to the core, our minds touched and a lot came clear. I really have become part demon.
Demon shit. You ain't evil like them.
Most demons ain't evil either. Ain't smart enough to be evil, or good for that matter. Might as well call a wasp evil for stinging. The mind demons, though...
Them bastards are more evil and horrible.
By a month's ride.
So you're saying... What? Corlings are just animals? I ain't sold. Wasps don't burst into flame when the sun comes up. Even if demons ain't evil, they ain't natural either.
That's day folk talking. Folk who haven't warded their eyes. Look around you. Is magic unnatural?
Maybe not. But that don't explain why you think you're part demon, or why you still have powers in daylight when the sun burns magic away.
I ain't gonna lie to you, Ren. Or hold back. It's just something I ain't proud of, and I don't want you thinking less of me.
Love you, Arlen Bales. Ain't nothing in the world ever gonna change that.
It's the meat that gave me the power.
Meat?
Demon meat. I ate it for months when I was living in the desert. Seemed only fair. They were always eating on us.
You ate them? Demons?
I didn't have much choice in the matter. I was left to die in the desert, no food, no hope. I was wretched as a man could be.
Think I would have let myself die.
Yeah, well, I guess I ain't as strong as you, Ren.
Oh, you're stronger than I ever was, Arlen Bales. You hadn't slept the fool out of me? I'd have let myself die just to keep the Tanner shame a secret. Ain't no strength there.
Needed the fool slapped out of me more than once over the years.
You sure it's the demon meat gave you these powers?
Colleen Trigg used to say what you eat becomes a part of you, and I reckon that's so. I've absorbed the Corlin's ability to store magic in their cells, but my skin has retained its proof against the sun. I've become like a battery.
Cells? Battery?
Science of the old world. It doesn't matter. Think of it as a drain barrel after a night's rain. Full of water, even after the sky clears and the ground dries up. Can't tap the magic in the sunlight, but I feel it inside of me, healing my wounds, making me tireless and strong. At night, I can let it out like opening a bung, and I'm only just scratching the surface of what can be done. And before you say anything, I know what you're thinking, Ran. Don't go trying this one.
Why? Didn't seem to hurt you none.
You don't know what it was like, Ran. I was crazed, suicidal. I lived like an animal.
Alone in the middle of nowhere, no one to talk to but Dancer and the Corlings. Know what that's like. Apt to make anyone have a night wish, demon meat or no.
Honest word. But eating demon ain't like painting Blackstem on your skin. It won't fade away after a few weeks, and you ain't ready for it.
Who are you to say what I'm ready for?
Ain't giving you orders here, Ren. I'm begging you. Don't eat it. And if anyone asks, you tell them it's poison.
Think on it. And won't tell anyone else. Honest word.
Then let's hunt. I need to be holding as much magic as possible when I heal Dancer.
'Twilight Dancer was in pain when they returned to the stable, tongue hanging from his mouth. Arlen had suffused himself with so much magic, his wards glowed of their own accord. He seemed like the creator himself as he reached for one of Dancer's legs, pulling the broken bones into proper position and tracing wards on the skin around the fractures. Renna could hardly bear to watch. Arlen's glow lessened a bit with each healing, and there were many. Soon his wards dimmed and then winked out entirely. Still, he worked his sensitive fingers, running over the horse's body, probing for places to focus his power. Dancer's chest inflated as the ribs healed. Then, Arlen collapsed.
Arlen!
Renna carried him shivering up to bed. She could barely hear his heartbeat, and the glow of his magic had faded so much she thought it might wink out at any moment. She stripped and slipped into bed next to him, clutching him tight and willing some of the magic she had absorbed into him, but it seemed to make no difference.
Don't you die on me, Arlen Bales. Not after all we've been through.
Arlen did not respond, and Renna stood, brushing back tears as she paced the room, her mind racing.
Needs magic. Gotta go and get him some.
She grabbed her cloak and ran out the door without bothering to pull her clothes back on. With a cloak of unsight around her, she was invisible to the Corlings and quickly found a field demon prowling not far from the wards. She cast the cloak aside, and before it knew she was there, she had leapt on the demon's back. He had taken a bucket from the stables, and now she drained the creature's foul black ichor, rich with glowing magic. Her naked skin was soon covered in the stuff, and she could feel her Blackstem wards pulling at the power. She felt strong beyond belief. Renna laid Arlen on the floor and dumped the reeking bucket over him, watching the wards on his skin brighten and absorb the magic, then dim as his internal aura brightened.
Thank the Creator.
Renna looked to the bucket, a slimy piece of demon gut clinging to its lip. She scooped the black thing up in her hand, poking at it like jelly. It stank, and her stomach heaved.
He'll pull away, I let him. Strong as he is, he can't do this alone. Got to keep the pace or I'll be left behind again next time he's pulled into the core. Done thinking.
She put the meat in her mouth. Renna had awakened not long after dawn. Arlen slept peacefully, and she had moved carefully so as not to wake him as she washed the dried gore from her skin. With the curtains drawn tight, Renna had still felt charged with power, but as soon as she had gone out into the sunlight, that strength burned away. She stretched experimentally, seeking some evidence that her disgusting meal had had an effect on her. But if there was a change, she hadn't sensed it. Next, she brushed down Twilight Dancer and gave him his morning feed. The stallion looked hale, showing no signs that just 2 nights ago he had been moments from death. Even his scars were faded things, barely visible. When she was done that, she had gone out into the field harvesting potatoes and vegetables from the wild crop, enough to make a proper breakfast for once. She had it ready when Arlen stumbled into the tavern looking haggard as if he hadn't slept at all.
Oh, smells like heaven in here.
Ain't got eggs or proper bread, but I caught a rabbit in the field, so there's meat.
Renna spooned the stew into a pair of wooden bowls. They sat, Arlen looking at his bowl for a moment, then put his head in his hands.
Oh, I might have overdone it last night.
Well, that's undersaid.
Regretting all that protein now.
Eat. Your stomach will calm with something in it. And best drink all the water you can stand, sweet or not.
Arlen nodded and soon was eating voraciously, his bowl quickly emptied.
Oh, there any more?
Well, take mine. I'll get another.
She was pleased to see his second helping emptied by the time she returned.
Feeling better?
Feel human. Been a while.
Can rest up another day. Charge you up again tonight.
Miles to go today, Ren. Got one stop this afternoon, then it's straight on to the Hollow, fast as we can manage.
What stop?
Need to pick you up a proper promise gift.
Arlen set a strong pace as they headed down the messenger road. The sun was well past its high point when they came to a fork in the road, and Arlen turned onto the less traveled way, little more than a bridle path heading into the wild hilly plain.
What's off this way?
Rancher I know. Owes me a favor.
It was an hour's walk before the ranch came in sight. A boy appeared on the roof of the closest barn, holding a short bow with an arrow nocked and pointed at them.
Who's that?
Someone who's gonna regret not letting you get hit by that wood demon, Nick Stallion. You don't put that bow down and fetch your die.
Messenger! Ma! Pa! Messenger's come! And he's brought Dancer!
The boy slid down the roof to the porch awning, swinging easily to the ground from its lip. He ran to the garden and pulled up a couple of carrots before hurrying over to them, staring at Twilight Dancer in wonder.
He's grown big as a barn.
He eased carefully up to the great stallion, holding out the carrots.
Easy, boy. It's me, Nick. You remember me, don't you?
Twilight Dancer took the carrots, but the boy stayed tense, ready to run.
He ain't gonna kick or bite you, boy.
You tamed him?
Hardly. Dancer's still the meanest horse alive. But he only bites and kicks Corlins now.
The man who approached only had eyes for the horse at first. He approached calmly, giving Dancer time to get used to his presence. The stallion accepted his touch.
He's grown.
The man was tall and lean with a thick but close-cropped beard. His brown hair was long and braided in back.
Must be two hands taller than his sire. An old rock slide's bigger than any horse I ever saw. Could do with a shoeing, though.
Ran a tanner. This here's John Stallion and his boy Nick. John breaks and breeds wild Angerian Mustang.
Catches and breeds, anyway. Ain't easy to tame something that can trample a field demon to death and outrun anything else in the naked night. Take that. Caught him as a colt not 6 months old. Thought for sure I could break the wild out of one that young. But he wouldn't take so much as a halter. Kicked his way out of the barn more than once.
The naked knight ain't forgiven. 6 months is a lifetime with the demons.
Didn't think even you could tame him.
Didn't. Just brought him back where he belonged.
Got him taking a saddle and reins, though. But I guess I shouldn't be surprised. Back then, you were just the crazy tattooed messenger who saved my boy. Now I hear tell you're the ripping deliverer.
I ain't. I'm Arlen Bales out of Tibbetts Brook, and I just got more sack than sense sometimes.
So, you have a name after all.
A woman came out from the ranch house. She was plain but had the vigorous look of one used to hard work.
Don't mind the boys. Ain't gonna talk about much else when there's horse flesh about. I'm Glenn.
Rinna.
Good to see you again, messenger. Can you stay for supper?
I'd like that.
What brings you out this way? Ain't just for the shoeing, I guess.
I need another horse. A filly I can breed with Dancer. Starting a family.
After Dancer was brought to the farrier, John led the way towards a great fenced field where dozens of horses grazed under the watchful eyes of mounted ranch hands. In one of these, Renna saw a giant black stallion cantering by itself, watched by two nervous ranch hands with ready whips.
That's old Rockslide, Dancer's sire. Caught him on the plain with half a dozen mares and young Dancer. Call him Rockslide because that's what it felt we'd been through when we finally herded him into a corral. Big bastard won't do a lick of work, but he'll kick holes in the barn all night long, you let him. Mean as a demon. Too smart by half. City breeders will tell you wild horses ain't smart because they won't follow commands. But don't you believe them. Mustangs got their own smarts. Enough to survive the naked night, which is more than most folk can say. Rockslide liked to throw anyone that tried to mount, then trample them into the yard. Retired him to the breeding pen when we got tired of bone setting.
You were a king out on the plains, and here they have you running circles in a pen and mounting mares all day.
Good foaling this summer. Lots of fillies to choose from.
Your choice, Ren. Anyone you want.
Renna looked out over the herd. John had yearlings big enough for a grown man to ride, and there were no poor specimens. There were a number of strong-looking fillies, but Renna found her eyes drawn instead to a grown mare who stood apart from the herd. The mare had a blotchy coat of brown and black and stood a hand taller than the others.
What about that one?
You got a good eye, girl. Most folk can't see past that ugly coat. That's Twister. Caught her last summer, right before the worst windstorm I ever seen. Stronger than most stallions and barely 5 years old. She's tried to get away more times than I can count. Go near her with a halter? Nah. Go near her at all. She gets all kinds of mean. Even bit old Rockslide when I put her in his pen to see if they'd get on.
Ain't gonna need a halter.
Renna headed across the field.
Yeah, that horse is dangerous. Sure you know what you're doing?
Twister didn't back away as Renna approached.
Ain't got a halter. Don't reckon I'd care to wear one, so I ain't gonna ask you to either.
Twister let her get in close, but when Renna reached out to stroke the horse's neck, she moved fast, powerful jaws snapping. Renna barely snatched her hand away before it was bitten off.
Weren't no call for that.
Renna hit the mare hard on the nose. Twister went wild at the blow, rearing up and kicking her feet. But Renna was ready. Renna weaved like a barley stalk in the wind, feeling the air as the kicking hooves missed her by scant inches. Twister bunched her muscles, ready to flee. Renna rushed in before the mare could gallop off, gripping a handful of mane in her fist and vaulted onto the horse's bare back. She threw her arms around the horse's throat so thick she was barely able to clasp her wrists. She called upon every bit of power she could muster and began to squeeze. It seemed to go on forever, but finally Twister began to calm. She stopped bucking and galloped around the pen. Renna took them back to the edge of the fence where Arlen and the others waited, pulling up short.
Made your choice then. Twister?
But Twister ain't a good name. Gonna call her Promise.
They rode the rest of the afternoon on into the night, making camp not long before dawn.
Stay with the horses. I need to get a bit of my strength back.
Renna gave him a few breaths to draw away, then moved off after prey of her own. She caught sight of a field demon stalking not far from camp. The demon pounced, but Renna was ready and caught it in a Sharosak throw, bearing it down. Her fists were painted with powerful wards. She drew her knife. This time, she didn't even bother to cook the demon's flesh before she ate it. The taste was even fouler, but the remembrance of her power under the sun that day kept Renna's stomach strong. They said little the next day as they raced down an ill-used messenger road. Arlen's hood was drawn against the sun, but Renna knew the look of frustration it hid.
What business does Arlen have in Deliverer's Hollow that's so all-fired important?
Look out!
Right in front of them, a cart was turned across the road, thick bushes to either side, making it impossible to ride around. It was all Renna could do to keep her seat.
Promised you no halter. Didn't say nothing about no saddle. You think on that.
Hi, Tender! We could use a hand!
A gray-bearded man waved at them with a worn and beaten hat. He and another man stood behind the cart.
Let me handle this, Ren.
Arlen edged Twilight Dancer ahead of Promise.
What happened?
Stuck in the rotten mud. Think you might lend us one of them big horses long enough to break free?
Sorry, can't help.
What do you mean you can't help? What kind of a tender are you?
Dancer could pull him free in no time.
Cart ain't stuck, Ren. This is the oldest trick in the bandit handbook. I didn't think folks still did this one.
Bandits? Honest word?
Bad enough we got demons at night. Now folk turn on each other during the day?
That's ridiculous.
The man standing behind the cart ducked out of sight a moment and then reappeared holding a crankbow. Two men came from the bushes, aiming drawn hunting bows at them. From around the bend behind them came three more men with spears blocking their retreat.
Ain't looking to hurt anyone, Tender, but these are desperate times. and you're carrying an awful heavy load for a tender. We'll be taking any food, blankets, or medicine you got, not to mention those big horses.
Trust me, you wouldn't want the horses.
You don't get to tell me what I want, tender. Creator abandoned us long time ago. Now you two get down off those horses, or my men will fill you full of holes.
Harlan was off Twilight Dancer in an instant. Renna barely saw him move as he closed the distance to the Greybeard, catching him in a Sharosat chokehold.
Like you said, ain't looking to hurt anyone. Just looking to be on my way. So why don't you tell your men to...
Harlan snatched an arrow out of the air the way a quick man might snatch a horsefly. The movement caused his hood to come down.
Worded man! So you're the one everyone says is the deliverer. You don't look like the deliverer to me.
I never said I was. I'm Arlen Bale out of Tibbetts Brook, and I ain't gonna deliver anything but a whipping to anyone who doesn't start acting neighborly right quick.
The Greybeard looked at him and then around at his men. He waved a hand and they put their weapons up, all staring at Arlen.
Ain't gonna apologize. I got mouths to feed, and folk in need a proper sucker. Done some things I'm not proud of to get by, but it ain't from greed or malice. A man tends to forget himself when he's been on the road a long time with nowhere to go.
I know what it's like. What's your name?
Farley Oat.
You're out of Oating, then. 3 days north of Fort Rising, past the Yellow Orchards?
That's right.
You come a long way from Oating, Farley. How long you been on the road?
Nigh 3 seasons, since the Crasians took Fort Rising. Knew the desert rats would come for us next, so I told folk to pack up everything they owned and set off right away.
You town speaker?
I was the tender. Guess I still am after a fashion, though I've been doubting there's anyone watching from above.
Yeah, I know that feeling too.
Whole village of Oaten left together. 600 of us. We had herb gatherers, warders, even a retired messenger to guide us. Plenty of supplies. Honest word, we started with more than we could carry. But that changed quick.
Always does.
Desert rats came quickly, and their scouts were everywhere. Lost a lot of folk to the running, and a lot more to the winter. Crasians stopped chasing us eventually, but no one felt safe until we got to Lacton.
But Lacton wouldn't have you.
We were looking a bit shabby by then. Folk would look the other way for a bit if we camped for a week in a fallow field or fished a bit in their pond, but no one was looking to take 500 new folk into their town. Someone would accuse us of stealing something, and before you know it, whole town comes out with rakes and hoes to run us out. Went from there to the Hollow, where they're taking in Rhizonians by the thousand. But folk were chewing bark and digging bugs just to fill their bellies. And the cutters roamed the refugee camps, looking for recruits to get themselves killed in the naked night. Some of us lost everything to the Crasians, and they want us to start fighting demons. Won't be no one left.
So you set off north?
Seemed like the wisest course. I still had nigh 300 folk to look after. Hollowers gave us a couple of warded spears and what help they could. Farmer's stump wasn't half so kind, and the bastards in Fort Angiers turned us away at spear point. Heard there might be work up Riverbridge way, but that place was no better. Packed full. So now we're here and got nowhere else.
Show me your camp.
The bandit looked at him for a moment, then nodded and turned to his men. The cart was out of the mud in an instant, and they were soon traveling off-road through a narrow pass in the trees. Harlan dismounted, leading Twilight Dancer by the reins. Renna did the same, laying a hand on Promise's strong neck to guide her. It was over an hour before the Odinger's camp came in sight, hidden well away from the road. Renna's eyes widened at the ragtag collection of crudely patched tents and covered wagons. Women, children, and elderly stumbled about the camp, exhausted, filthy, and half-starved. Arlen led Twilight Dancer through the camp, his back stiff as he looked in the lost and tired eyes of the people. They started when they caught sight of his warted face. They came to the shelter for the sick, open to the fresh air, and Renna choked on the sight like it was demon meat. Almost 24 folk lay spread out on narrow cots in the tent, covered in bloody bandages, filthy and reeking.
Creator, they don't even have a proper gatherer.
My wife, Evie, she ain't a herb gatherer, but serves as one for those in need.
Evie looked up and her eyes widened in shock as she took in Arlen's and Renna's warded skin. Arlen went to his saddlebag and fetched his herb pouch.
I have some gatherers, Arlen, particularly when it comes to Corlin wounds. I'd like to help if I might.
Evie fell to her knees.
Oh, please, deliverer. We'll do anything.
You can start by not acting the fool. I ain't no deliverer. I'm Arlen Bales out of Tibbetts Brook, and I'm just looking to help as I can.
I'm sorry. I don't know what came over me.
You don't have to explain. Know the ale stories the jongleurs spin about me, but I'm here to tell you I'm a man just like any other. Just learned some old world tricks folks these days have forgotten. About 60 miles north of here is the village of Deadwell. I can draw you a good map with places you can camp along the way marked off.
Why should they want us at Deadwell more than anywhere else?
Because there ain't no one in Deadwell anymore. Corlin's got in and killed every man, woman, and child there. But we just been there and swept the place good. Might be cramped at first, but it's got everything you need to start a new life. Just make sure you break up the well, dig a fresh one.
You were just giving us a village?
Used to go there a lot. Place was special to me. I'd like it to be home to good folk again. Folk that take a dim view of banditry.
Canon says, trust not the man who offers all you desire just when you need it most.
Creator abandoned you, but tender Varley can't stop quoting the canon.
World's full of contradictions.
Deadwell ain't gonna do you any worse than you already are. Your wards are weak. Could see that just passing through.
Ain't got so much as a hedge warder outside a hospital cot. Folk are just warding their carts and tents as best they can.
This here's Renna Tanner, my intended. She's a fair hand at warden. I'd like you and your men to take her around the camp. Help her see if she can't grant you more succor.
It's a real blessing, you doing this for us.
Excuse us a minute.
Renna turned and dragged Arlen back away from the tent.
What are you playing at, Arlen Bales? Had to fight tooth and nail for you to let me to ward my own backside, and now you trust me to ward this whole camp?
Saying you ain't up to it? I shouldn't trust you.
Didn't say any such thing.
Then why are we talking about this? Light's wasting, and you need to shore up them wards any way you can. Bully folk and slap the fool out of them if you have to, but get it done. Take a few spears and some warded arrows to give those as can use them.
Love you, Arlen Bales.
Renna quickly saw the wards were even worse than they feared. There was no proper circle around the camp at all.
How many folk you losing every night?
Too many. And more each night.
Only gets worse every night you stay in one place. Big camp like this, smell of fear, blood in the air, will draw corlings like ants to an apple core.
I don't like the sound of that.
You shouldn't. You get these people on the road to Deadwell tomorrow, whatever it takes.
Renna stood in front of a cart surrounded by ward posts staked into the ground.
Been seeing a lot of these posts.
Our warder made them before he was cored. Used to be enough to surround the camp. But we've lost a few and ain't been able to replace them.
Pull them all, if you please, and bring them over to the edge of the clearing. We'll circle the biggest wagons and put the posts in the gaps in between. Whole camp needs to squeeze in tight to fit inside.
Folk ain't gonna take kindly to us pulling up their wards.
I don't care what they like, Greybeard or you. Lest you want to lose more folk tonight, you best mind me between now and sunset.
All right.
I'll need paint. Any stain will do, darker the better, and a lot of it. And posts this high.
Renna held up a hand parallel to the ground.
Make as many as you can put together. Take axes to live trees if you got to. They only need to last till you make Deadwell.
Don, collect posts. Anyone argues, you send them to me.
Don nodded, picked a few men, and left.
Price, paint. Now. Fresh posts. Rip apart anything you need to.
Wagons need to be in place before I start planning posts, and that means right now.
Varley nodded, moving off to speak to the owner of one of the carts. It was almost dark when Renna returned to Arlen. He knelt by a cot holding a young girl's hand. Her other arm ended before the elbow in a bandage soaked through with brownish-yellow pus.
Demon fever. Flame demon bit her arm off and left an awful infection. Gave her what cures I know, but the sickness is far enough along, I doubt it'll even slow.
Arlen looked out at the others in the sick tent.
I'd have saved a couple of them, but I'm out of herbs and most beyond my skill in any event. In the sunlight, at least.
Your rooster strutting this afternoon was bad enough. You start healing folk in the night, and there'll be no end to this deliverer business.
What would you have me do? Leave these folk to die?
Of course not. Just saying, there's a price.
There's always a price, Wren. This is all my fault. I made this happen.
How's that? You drove these people from their homes?
Woke the demon that did. Never should have brought that spear, Krasia. Never should have trusted Jardir.
What spear? Who's Jardir?
Mind demon was willing to kill to answer those questions. Sure you want to know?
Killing is all demons ever do.
Renna pointed to the mind demon ward painted in black stem on her forehead.
And those big-headed bastards ain't ever getting inside my skull again.
Jardir is the leader of the Krasian people. Met him a long time ago and we became friends. Nah, friends doesn't even cover it. Taught me half what I know and saved my life more than once. Couldn't have loved him more, he was my own brother. And all along, he had a ripping knife to my back.
What happened?
Bought a black market map to a lost city in the desert, said to be the home of Kaji.
What's black market? They only open at night?
I guess you could say that. Black market means the people I bought it from stole it.
Well, that don't sound like the Arlen Bales I know.
Ain't proud of it, but had dealings with a lot of shady folk since I left Tibbetsbrook. Folk to make what Varley's doing seem honest. When you're out beyond the wards, sometimes shady folk are all there are.
So you got a map to this Kaji place. Then what?
Kaji ain't a place. He was a man. The last general from the Demon Wars. The Deliverer, if you believe in such things.
You, Arlen Bales, went hunting the Deliverer? Now I know you're spinning an ale story.
Wasn't hunting the Deliverer. I was hunting his wards. And I found him, Wren. Deliverer or no, I found Kaji's tomb and rescued his spear. The ancient battle wards, means to fight the Korlins, brought back to the world. Took it to Jardir, and he had the nerve to say I stole it, that it belonged to him. Offered to make him a copy, down to the last ward, but that wasn't good enough.
What'd he do?
Took the spear in the night, laid a trap and smiled as his men threw me into a demon pit to be cored. Now he's come north, meaning to enslave all of us for a new demon war.
So kill him and have done. World's better off without some folk.
Sometimes I think that I'm the one the world would be better off without.
Say again. You can't seriously be comparing yourself to that.
An excuse in Jardir. But try as I might, can't help but think that none of this would have happened. Not to you, the Rhizonians, or anyone, if I'd just kept our promise and stayed on the farm. Everyone's looking at me to put things right, but how can I when I'm the one who made it all wrong?
Renna gritted her teeth and slapped him in the face.
Don't you go looking surprised, Arlen Bales. You're the one told me to slap the fool out of any not helping shore the wards, and it's almost dark. You ain't done nothing but true by anyone I seen, and we don't got time for another lick of this nonsense.
Love you, Renna Tanner.
Scrounged and made enough posts to go 3/4 of the way around the camp. Had to draw wards in the dirt to close the circuit.
Never trust dirt wards.
And a fool. Posted guards with warded spears. But half Varley's men are dozing like they're playing possum on the road, and the other half are ready to piss themselves.
Don't worry. I'm getting good at this next part.
Renna led the way to where the guards stood, and just as she'd said, there were half a dozen who gripped their new warded spears with shaking hands, and then another group. Varley's bandits, led by Don and Bryce, lounging on the ground playing sucker. Arlen walked right over to Varley's men, kicking a shaking cup of dice right from Don's hand.
What's that about?
The sun is setting, and you're playing a dice is what it's about.
You crazy, Don? Talking back to the Deliverer?
He ain't the Deliverer, Bryce. Said so himself. Sun gonna set for 10 minutes, and there's wards right here in the dirt for all to see.
Can't trust wards in the dirt.
It don't look like rain to me.
Ain't just rain you gotta worry about. Anything can scuff out a dirt ward.
With that, Arlen reached out with his sandaled foot and rubbed out a yard of Renna's carefully drawn wards. The men scrambled to their feet, grabbing their weapons.
10 minutes doesn't feel like such a long time anymore, does it?
Creator, are you cracked?
Now, you show respect for the coming night.
You best be the deliverer now. Because if you ain't, you are made of crazy.
Harlan smiled and turned to face the other men, who now seemed doubly terrified, and with good reason. Already, it was dark enough that Renna's warded sight was coming to life. Luminescent wisps of magic invisible to the others were beginning to seep from the ground. Jared, who was barely 16, clutched his spear so tightly his knuckles showed white.
Why'd you go and do that? Don't want to die.
Everyone dies. It's how we die that matters.
You need to let demons into our camp to make your point, boy!
Farley pointed at the shapes of demons beginning to form just outside the clearing as full dark fell upon them.
Ain't no demon getting into this camp!
Renna watched as the soft, glowing mist at Arlen's feet suddenly rushed towards him like smoke sucking into a bellows. The air around him grew dark as Arlen absorbed the magic, then brightened again as the wards on his skin flared to life. A field demon solidified and ran towards the gap in the wards. Arlen swept a hand through the air, drawing a large ward. The ward threw the demon back away from the camp.
Creator!
Mind if I borrow your spear?
Arlen snatched the weapon from the boy's nerveless fingers. Arlen stepped out beyond the ward, pointing to the recovering demon with the spear.
See how the field demon had to thrash to get to its feet? There ain't nothing faster on four legs, and their sharp scales can blunt the attack even a warded spear. Put it off its feet, and you expose its belly, which ain't armored for spit.
Renna drew Harl's knife and watched the other demons that stalked the area as Arlen continued his lesson. It was nearly morning when Arlen and Renna entered the healing tent.
Sure you gotta do this?
I can't turn a blind eye, Ren.
Don't suppose you can. So do it quick while no one's looking.
Arlen knelt by the young girl, armless and dying of demon fever, and drew wards in the air. The redness and blisters faded from her face, and a healthy pallor began to return to her skin.
Why'd you learn healing wards anyhow? You pull that from the demon's mind?
Sort of. Ain't exactly healing wards. Body wants to make itself well and knows what to do. The wards just give it power to do it fast.
Harlan moved from one patient to the next, working quickly. He had charged himself with as much energy as he could hold, but it faded quickly with the healing. Soon he was swaying. Finally, his eyes half closed and he stumbled.
That's enough. Done what you could. Will you kill yourself to heal the rest?
Sneaks up. I feel invincible 1 second, like I'm drowning the next. I need to learn my limits.
Arlen looked haggard, and there were dark circles beneath his eyes.
Time to go.
They galloped for several miles before Renna pulled up. Arlen wheeled Twilight Dancer around when he noticed her fall behind.
Go!
Huh?
Hunt something. Ain't light yet. You need more than just the magic in the air to get back up to speed. This ain't the time to be getting sloppy.
Arlen tilted his head, considering her, and that hint of smile crept back onto his face.
Go!
He left Twilight Dancer off the road and onto the grasses. Renna took the opportunity to continue her experimentation with the eating of demon flesh in Arlen's absence. She had collected herself when Arlen returned, his glow restored.
Feeling stronger?
I still feel off, though. Charged and exhausted at the same time. But it'll do. Got a long way to ride, and I don't mean to stop till we reach the hollow. Path up ahead will take us east to Old Hill Road. Fell out of use around 90 years ago when the Corlins destroyed Fort Hill. Should give us a straight, clear run to the hollow. We ride on through tomorrow night, and we'll be there noon the next day.
Who's Leisha Paper to you?
Leisha Paper is herb gatherer Deliverer's Hollow, but she's more like Celia Baron from back in the brook. People hop when she claps. Innkeep in Riverbridge said Jardier snatched her from the hollow and forced her to his bed. Need to see if that's so. Pick up the trail if I can. Find out Jardier laid a finger on her. Gonna kill him.
Wouldn't be the man I love if you didn't. What he did to you, I'm part fixing to kill him myself.
Now don't you go trying that, Ren. You ain't a match for him. No matter what you think you've learned, Jardir's been fighting demons before either of us was born.
Still haven't answered my question. Didn't ask who's Leisha Paper. Asked who's Leisha Paper to you. Hear tell the Krasian's been forcing a lot of women to their beds. Why's this the one that makes you come running?
She's my friend.
You don't talk about her like a friend. You go all stiff, cold, can't read you. Makes me think you're hiding something.
What do you want me to say, Wren? You've got your Kobe Fishers, and I've got mine.
Kobe Fisher is one. I drove off any other boy who came to court me more than once. How many you got?
Two or three.
Well, ain't you popular?
What? Was I supposed to hold true because our dads bartered us like cattle? I left Tibbetsbrook and I never meant to come back, Wren.
Arlen rushed at her and instinctively she drew her knife. He was quicker, grabbing her wrists and holding them down with the strength of a rock demon.
Didn't know the girl you were then, or the woman you be. I would have turned right around to take you with me.
You mean that?
Honest word. You asking if I got some past with women? I do. But past as in done. My future is Rena Tanner.
Around midday, the path merged into a wide messenger road. Like the roads in Riverbridge, the old hill road was made of stone, but most of it was now cracked and eroded into enormous potholes, filled with dirt and thick with stunted patches of scrub and weed.
How'd they haul stones that big?
Didn't. They made a porridge called crete, which hardens into solid rock. All roads used to be like this, wide and stone, sometimes hundreds of miles long.
What happened to them?
World got too small for big roads. Now, old hill roads, one of the last of her kind. Nature doesn't take them back quickly, but eventually she does take them back.
We'll make good time here.
But night will be a race. Field demons are drawn here like pigs to a trough. They come up through the potholes.
Who am I to worry? Got the deliverer with me.
Rena wasn't laughing anymore. It was still all she could do to hang on as the giant Tangerian Mustang galloped flat out over the ancient highway. Above, wind demons filled the night sky. Rena glanced up and saw the demons clearly by the glow of their magic, massive wingspans blotting out the stars.
Do we fight?
Too many! We stop to fight, more will catch up! Keep on!
Arlen let go of Twilight Dancer's reins and turned, drawing a ward in the air. Rena felt a rush of air, and the Korlings at her heels were thrown back like leaves in the wind. Another field demon leapt, its long hooked talons digging deep grooves into Twilight Dancer's hindquarters, just beneath the barding as it tried to pull the massive stallion down. Dancer broke stride to kick back, his warded hooves crushing the demon's skull. But the pause gave another of the demons time to climb atop an ancient pile of crete and hurl itself at Arlen. Arlen twisted, catching the swiping paw in one hand and punching the demon hard in the head with the other.
Don't slow!
He hurled the demon back into the chasing horde. Dancer's flanks were wet with running blood, and his speed began to lessen as the demons renewed their chase.
Knight!
A field demon leapt upon Promise's back, and Rena reached into her pouch for a handful of chestnuts. Suddenly, another field demon attacked her from behind, biting hard at her shoulder. But the pain and the magic both were a drug to Rena. In that moment, she didn't care if she lived or died. She only knew that she would not die first. Again and again, her arm pumped, stabbing her father's knife into the Korling. Every blow sent a shock of magic thrilling through her, making her stronger, faster, invincible. She caught one of the scrabbling hind limbs of the demon on Promise's back, pulling it into position as she stabbed it in the heart. Arlen was beside her in an instant. Twilight Dancer scattered another group of demons. Arlen drew large field demon wards in the air around them. With her warded eyes, Rennet could see the thin trail of magic he left to hold each symbol together. A field demon leapt at them. The wards would only grow stronger the more they were struck. Arlen moved in a steady line, forming a circle around them, but ahead of him, several demons barred his path, continuing to snap and claw at Promise's flank. Arlen turned and drew a series of impact wards in the air.
Bran, look at yourself!
Rena looked down at the deep wounds gaping in her skin. Blood ran freely in a dozen places, and her back and shoulder were on fire. The mad knight's strength left her, and her knife dropped, too heavy to lift. Arlen moved off to complete the ward net around and above them on foot. Arlen was back at Rena's side as soon as the net was complete, cleaning the dirt and blood from her wounds.
Oh.
There was a fallen demon inside the Forbidding, and he dipped a finger in its eye core like a quill in an inkwell, writing wards on her skin. She could feel her flesh tightening, pulling as it knit back together.
Put your cloak on while I tend the horses.
Rena nodded, pulling her warded cloak from the pouch at her waist. Lacking the warded barding of Twilight Dancer, Promise was easily the more wounded of the two horses. Arlen ignored the horse's posturing, moving almost too fast to see as he swept in and took a great handful of Promise's mane. Eventually, Promise relented and let him tend her, perhaps realizing at last that he was trying to help her. Arlen returned to Rena's side a few minutes later.
That what happens to you? Feel so alive you don't even realize it's killing you?
Forget to breathe sometimes. I get so drunk on power it feels like I shouldn't need to do something so mundane. Then suddenly I break out gasping for air. Almost got me cored more than once. The magic will trick you into thinking you're immortal, Ren, but you ain't. No one is, not even the Corlins. And the struggle never goes away. It's a new fight every time you taste the power.
How do you keep from losing yourself?
Started keeping Rena Tanner around me to remind me I'm just a dumb Bales from Tibbetts Brook, and I ain't too good to breathe.
Then you got nothing to fear, Arlen Bales. You're stuck with me.
Rena and the horses were well recovered by morning, but Arlen eased the pace, never taking Twilight Dancer above a trot. They rode for some time before splitting off from the old hill road down a thickly overgrown messenger way. Late in the day, they met up with a new road of hard-packed dirt. There was a large, warded campsite at the intersection. Arlen hopped down from Twilight Dancer, moving to inspect the wards.
Little clumsy, but thick and strong. Darcy Cutter painted these. Hollow must be growing like wildfire. They're this far north already.
Sun's setting. We should get moving.
We're stopping here.
Ain't gonna hide behind the wards every night over one close shave.
Ain't asking you to.
Then we're going.
Going where?
Right where we need to be.
Arlen went to the camp's wood stores, then began laying kindling in the fire pit. He did not meet her eyes, but there was a smugness about him, like this was a game.
Gonna hunt, then.
Won't kill you to have some supper first.
Rena wanted to slap the back of his shaved head. Her fists clenched, nails digging into her skin, drawing blood. She wanted to rend. She caught herself.
Maybe I've eaten too much already.
Rena forced herself to dismount. They had almost finished eating when Arlen craned his head as if listening to something far away. He smiled.
There it is.
What?
Arlen drew a ward in the air and the fire winked out.
Come on!
Son of the core!
Up ahead shone a hazy glow.
Seems the hollow's expanding again. Reckon the cutter's got it in hand.
Arlen dismounted and nodded into the woods.
Put your cloak on and let's see if we can get a peek.
They soon came to a thin spot in the trees just outside a huge clearing still full of stumps and the smell of fresh lumber. Here, Arlen stopped, watching from the darkness. In the center of the clearing, bonfires burned in a large warded circle, full of tents and tools and draft animals. The fires gave light to the men and women moving about the clearing, fighting a great copse of wood demons and a 10-foot rock demon.
What are they doing?
Clearing a great war. They start by chopping trees to form a center for the town. Then they branch out, clearing land in the shape of a ward of forbidden miles wide. At night, they kill the demons that rise in the area so they're culled and not just pushed to the edge of the forbidden when the wards activate.
Why doesn't everyone do that?
I reckon they used to back in the demon wars, but people forgot. And since the return, folk have been too busy hiding to use their heads.
Renna watched the battle more closely, recognizing the cutters immediately. The men were big and burly, dressed in sleeveless vests of thick leather, with banded bracers and biceps that seemed bigger than Renna's head. There were women as well, all armed with crank bows or heavy warded blades. Surrounding the women were a group of men that stood in stark contrast to the cutters. Clad in thick wooden armor lacquered with wards and fired hard, they wore heavy helms and carried matching spear and shield. At the center of the warding circle on their shields was a painted toy soldier.
Who are they?
The wooden soldiers. Royal Guard of Angiers. Duke Rhinebeck said he'd send them here to train with the cutters.
Looks like they haven't been at it long.
City guards. Used to bullying folk and maybe handing down a beating or two. But I doubt any of them ever so much as thrust a spear outside the practice yard before coming to the Hollow. And Prince Thamos looks to be the worst of the lot.
Indeed, the man Arlen pointed to was clad as she imagined the prince might be. His steel armor gilded with golden wards and polished bright.